You are too. So different from Galatians. Galatians mostly doctrine. Galatians mostly a growling. Philippians completely practical. And Paul had a great love for this church, as you will see. He wrote the book from prison and yet gave us probably the key verse of the book. It's Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Remember, he wrote that while he was in stocks in the prison cells. And some of his first converts were from prison, if you remember. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer was the third convert of Philippi, I believe. We had Lydia, and then we had the lady that was a soothsayer, whom Paul rebuked and took away her powers. And then that's how he ended up in jail. And then, of course, God rescued them from jail, but not until the jailer and his whole family got saved and baptized, which was the beginning of the churches at Philippi. So it's all about practical experience, life's purpose, how we're supposed to live, our goals, the power, and so forth. And there's just so many great passages. It's going to be really fun. And I know a lot of them you already know, like in 121, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 129, for unto you is given the behalf of Christ, not only to believe him on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let you each esteem others better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We could go on and on, couldn't we? Most of us know 4:13, I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 3:10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. In chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, two of the greatest prayer verses in the Bible. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, it's going to be a great book. And tonight we're going to look at the first 8 verses together of Philippians. And you'll already see just in the beginning here that Paul had a deep love for this church. So starting in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. So our title tonight is Every Remembrance of You. Lord, use your word tonight. Thank you for the privilege to go into Philippians together. And I pray you'll teach us through it. And Lord, may we also just catch a glimpse of this love that he had for the church here. And may it work in our hearts as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see there in verse 1, there's only 2 Bible officers in a local church. The bishops and deacons. History tells us there were more than, in the end, there were more than one churches at Philippi. It was a very big city. That was when, remember, Paul had the vision. They said, Macedonia, come over and help us. And so he went over in that Macedonian area and ended up in Philippi, where he ended up in jail, and the church got started, as you know. But tonight, we see Paul, again, had this great love he had for the church of Philippi. When you compare it to like Corinthians, not once does he talk like this to the Corinthians, because they were a bunch of rebels and they were just trouble. Or did we ever, when we went through the book of Galatians, did we hear him speak this way to them? Because they were being led astray by false doctrine. So he had to write the book of correction. But that's not Philippians at all. It's a book of encouragement and a practical book about how to live the Christian life. And we see his love, and it should translate for us. Is this how we feel about our church, including people on the streaming? So we see, first of all, in verse 3, Paul was very, very thankful for this church. Notice he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He was very thankful for the church of Philippi. Now, he didn't say this to every church, but he did say it to some. I'll tell you the ones. Romans, well, let's turn there. Romans 1 and verse 8. And it's a good question for us. Do I thank God for my church? Am I thankful for my church? We should be. But notice Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So you see his love for the church at Rome. Then in Ephesians 1:16, if you want to turn there, we'll see his love for the church at Ephesus. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then Colossians 1:3. Now, if you'll notice, in each one of these passages, he not only says he's thankful for the church, but he also says he prays for the church, because that'll be our second point. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then 1 Thessalonians 1:2. And so you're seeing a pattern here for most of the churches that Paul helped start and wrote an epistle to, was his great love for these churches. Notice he says, 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And so the first thing we see is Paul had a great love for the church, which meant he was very thankful for the church. And we see there in verse 4, Philippians 1, he also prayed for these churches. And our question for our own self, am I thankful for my church? Do I pray for my church? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We should be praying one for another. That's one of the things we get to enjoy on Wednesday nights after the preaching, is this opportunity to pray for one another. So are we thankful for our church? Do we pray for our church? And then in verse 5 of Philippians 1, he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. What's he talking about here? What you are going to find if you go over to chapter 4 is the church at Philippi was a very missions-minded church. And, yeah, am I thankful for my church? Do I pray for my church? But do I participate in the missions program? Do I pray for my missionaries? Do I send them a text or a letter sometimes? Again, do I give to missions? Because this church of Philippi, Paul held them up as an example. Look at verse 14 in chapter 4. Notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So when he was done in Macedonia and moved on that missionary journey, he said, you were the only church that helped me financially in that missionary journey. Now, eventually some other churches helped as well. But he said, back in the beginning, when I departed from Macedonia, it was ye only. And so the church at Philippi was very excited about helping Paul on his missionary journeys. They were a missions-minded church. So that he was thankful for the church, he prayed for the church, and he pointed out that they were a missions-minded church. Then he puts in here verse 6 for us, one of the beautiful eternal security verses in the New Testament. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Beautiful verse. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. Amen. What God started, God will finish. That's what he says here in verse 6. Now, we could spend the rest of the night giving verses about eternal security, but I'll give you a few. John 6:47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's just a sampling, of course, but he's encouraging this church of Philippi, you are safe in Christ. Amen. What God began, God will perform. How long? Till the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we see Paul's love for this church. He's encouraging them. We see that he was thankful for this church. He prayed for them. He admonished and was thankful for their love for missions. And last of all, he had a great love for the church. Notice in verse 7, he said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Isn't that special? I have you in my heart. He doesn't say that about many churches. He says, verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That was Paul. He had an amazing love for this church. If you look at chapter 4, verse 1, by the way, love is action. Amen. I think we all know this by now. And if we love our church, then we're going to be praying for it. We're going to be faithful. We're going to serve in it, and so forth. But notice Philippians 4, 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He says, my dearly beloved, twice in that one verse, talking to the church at Philippi. So Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'm thankful for you. We need to be thankful for our church. I pray for you. We need to pray for our church. Thank you for your fellowship in the gospel. We need to be involved in missions. And I long after you. We need to love our church. And, of course, that love would only be shown by what we do. And that is, we are faithful. We pray for our church. And we serve in our church. Paul loved the church at Philippi, as you see. Dearly beloved, he said. My dearly beloved church at Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Paul's letter here and the introduction to it, and just how we can see already his love for this church, and pray, Lord, that it would stir us up as well. Lord, that we would love our church and be involved and pray and do what needs to be done to help our church. And we pray, Lord, that we would grow as we go through this book together. And we pray that, as Paul said, we thank God upon every remembrance. So we love you and thank you for speaking to our hearts in Jesus' name.